We have a church member who is facing significant surgery. And she needs a ride to the hospital at 7 o'clock on Tuesday morning. If I called any of you and told you that, you would make that happen. Let me be clear, we don't have a church member who needs a ride to the hospital on Tuesday morning at 7. But if we did, and if I called you, any one of you, you would make that happen. You would offer to pick the person up, you would find someone else who could do it, even if your car is in the shop, or you're going to be out of town for work. If I called you and said, we have a church member who needs a ride to the hospital at 7 o'clock on Tuesday morning, you would make it happen. You would spend your time and energy and money as needed to make that happen. So I want to stretch out that idea a bit. I want to ask some related questions to help us think about that kind of scenario. If I called you and told you that we have a church member in need of a kidney transplant, and that you're the match, and I asked you, would you be willing to donate a kidney? I have no doubt that all of you, every one of you, would say, sure, let's call the doctors and get to work on that. So let me ask another question. If I said to you, we have a church member facing serious illness, and the only way she will get well is if you, and only you, donate $100,000. That's a completely hypothetical situation, and there are all kinds of variables. But just take the scenario at face value. Don't wander off into the what-ifs and the whys. Let's just stick with this simple scenario and pretend that I told you that a very sick church member would get well if you paid $100,000. Would you do it? Think about that for a moment. Is another person's health worth $100,000 of your money? Let me ask a few more questions. Let's consider a few more scenarios. Let's talk about racism, about white supremacy. Jim Wallace has called racism America's original sin. If you could wipe out racism, you could completely eradicate white supremacy and racism in this country. If you could guarantee that no person, no woman, no man, no child would ever be discriminated against due to the color of her or his skin, would you do it? If it meant that you had to be homeless for the rest of your life. If I told you that you had to live on the streets or in a homeless shelter, you had to eat at food banks or soup kitchens for the rest of your life, and that would end racism, would you do it? Would you give up your home to end discrimination and racism? The reason these questions come to mind is this scripture passage that we've been reading for 6 weeks now, this complicated, strange, difficult story. Jesus meets this man who is possessed. Jesus casts the demons out of the man. And this version of the scripture says the pigs had it worse than the man. The pigs' lives were traded for the man's sanity. This is not a fair story. In any way. The pigs did not get to choose whether or not they gave up their lives to help this man. And the pigs' owners did not get to make that choice either. Several of you who are economists in the congregation have pointed out the economic troubles of this text. The swineherd's livelihood was taken from them, not only the money they had invested in the pigs in that moment, but any future money they were to realize from their herd of pigs. I did a little research this week into the price of pigs. It's interesting and complicated to buy pigs, by the way. The price of a pig depends on many things. It depends in part on what you want to do with the pig. Do you want to eat the pig next week? There's one price for that. Do you want a breeding pig to raise more pigs? Do you want a show pig so that you can win ribbons at the county fair? Do you want a pig as a pet? And what kind of pig do you want? There's Yorkshire pigs and British Lock pigs and Iberian pigs and Tokyo Hex pigs, hundreds and hundreds of breeds of swine. For the sake of this moment, it seems to me that the average price of an average adult pig is about $300. So a herd of 2,000 pigs would be worth about $600,000 in the future investment of pigs yet to be born from that herd. That's no small investment. And off they plunge, all $600,000 of them. Off they plunge into the sea and drown, so that this man may be purged of his troubles. It's a tremendous cost for the pigs who gave their lives, and for the swine herds, for the pig farmers who lost their livelihood. As I've said several times over the past few weeks as we have read this story, this is not a factual story. This is not a story to be taken literally. There are several hints within the text itself that remind us that we cannot take this as a literal story or a factual story. The very setting of the story is unclear. The number of the pigs is far too big for it to be reality. This is an impossible story to take literally. This is a metaphor, maybe better described as a parable, a story to be read with holy imagination. And metaphors, parables, stories of holy imagination always ask, what does this story mean to me, the reader? What does this story mean to us as hearers of this tale? What does this story about a possessed man and a herd of pigs leaping off a cliff say to you? As I've had this conversation after the services for several weeks, there are many, many questions in this story. But one of the questions that I see in this story from the Gospel of Mark is this. The question of how much are you willing to give up so that another person may live? How much are you willing to give up so that another person may live? That's what the pigs and the swineherds did. They gave up life and livelihood for this other person to be well. And that's what the story asks us. How much are you willing to sacrifice for another person? I've entitled this sermon, Shopping with Jesus. Because when we go shopping, that's what we do. We are agreeing to give up a certain amount of money or value in return for something else. When I go to Giant or Whole Foods or wherever, I'm agreeing that a gallon of milk is worth about $3 to me. Life with Jesus is this constant exploration of the value of others and our own willingness to engage for their lives. Let me propose one more scenario. This possessed man in this story, who was chained and tied up and sent to live in a cemetery, if he were alive today, we would probably diagnose him with epilepsy or Tourette's syndrome or maybe some form of mental illness, maybe paranoia or schizophrenia or some psychosis of some sort. The National Alliance of Mental Illness says that about 10 million Americans live with serious mental illness that prevents them from functioning in some way or another. About 2 million Americans live with schizophrenia. Now, we need to admit that our current healthcare system, our current healthcare policies, and our budgetary priorities, and our attitudes as citizens do not provide the help that these 10 million Americans need. But let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question about the 2 million who live with schizophrenia. If I told you that you could end schizophrenia for 2 million Americans by taking on that illness for yourself, would you? If I said that you could cure schizophrenia by becoming schizophrenic, would you do it? It's a completely hypothetical, outlandish, difficult scenario, I know. But that's what we see here in this story, as strange as it is. The pigs take on this man's illness and end their lives. The pig farmers lose their livelihoods so that this other person may be made well. Elsewhere in the Gospels, Jesus says, "No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend." That is the seriousness of the gospel. It invites us to live with sacrificial love. When we come to church and read stories like this and think about what it means to live as Christians in the world, we are not playing silly games. This is not feel-good religion. This is not some kind of maintain the status quo social club. The gospel is about giving up one's very self so that another might live. In writing about the generative generosity of sacrificial love, Anne McDonald Dobbs has said, "To give one's life for another is not to die for no further end. Rather, it is sacrifice rooted in God's love for the world that bears the fruits of justice and reconciliation." Sacrificial, generous, generative love, she says, creates space for life when it seems there is none. Sacrificial, generous, generative love makes room for other people to flourish. Sacrificial, generous, life-giving love calls us beyond our own abilities to foster the ability to trust in God's abundant grace and promise in the face of scarcity and death. Sacrificial, generous, life-giving love includes the excluded, invites in the ostracized, meets the needs of the hungry, the isolated, and the oppressed. The pigs in this parable gave up their lives so that another would be well. They didn't have a choice. The good news is we are not pigs. We have a choice. We have the choice to love generously, to care sacrificially, and to give generatively. We have the choice to live so that our lives are a means by which God heals the world. May it be so with us. Amen.